Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then again, we have local fishing guide and pro angler Bill Cutcon talking about walleye fishing. And then as we wrap up the show, we've got some perch fishing tips for you from fishing guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports. Just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle and talking to Jarrett McCarthy again. And Jarrett, you know, we're getting closer and closer and closer to spring, but old winter doesn't want to let go.
It doesn't want to let go. I mean, it's got to give it up at some point, though.
Overall, though, look at the long-term forecast. A lot of days above 30-some degrees.
Yeah, and we've been looking at a few extended forecasts, and it seems like the end of March it's going to start peaking up into the mid to upper 40s. So the warm weather's on its way. We just have to deal with winter's one last hoorah.
Yeah, and I think the ice will go fast this year because a lot of it's that poor white ice on top, and that'll turn to slush, and it'll go pretty quick, I'm going to think.
Which would be good. I think the same thing. Be definitely a lot better to have an earlier ice out than we did last year. You know, last year we had ice out on a lot of lakes around here. I think it was like the Wednesday before opener. So, yeah, a little bit more time on the water this year for panfish will be good.
Typically, it takes about mid-April, but I've seen it as early as the end of March. So, you know, we never know.
Yep, never know. All depending on the weather.
What's going on as far as the ice fishing? I know there's still a few people getting out ice fishing.
Yeah, there's quite a few people getting out ice fishing. Walleye is slow right now, but panfish and bluegills and crappies and perch, you know, they're really starting to heat up. They usually do this late ice period.
You know, as we're recording this, we don't have that much time left in the game fish season either. That closes, what, the first full weekend in March?
It'll be this weekend.
Well, you know, once the game fish season closes, the only thing left open is bass and panfish, right?
Correct, yep.
And how's the panfish you've been out there? Have you been catching a lot of crappies and bluegills? What?
Yeah, crappie and bluegill fishing has been good. Crappies are still out in the basins. Bluegills are in that, 10 to 20 foot basins, a little bit shallower than the crappies. And then now that we're into February, there are a lot of guys that are catching some nice perch up on those shallower mud flats.
Yeah, and the perch always seems to get going this time of year because they start moving, getting ready for spawn. They're one of the first fish to spawn, I think.
Yep. So we're getting a lot of reports of those fish that are moving up onto those 10 to 15 foot mud flats, catching them on little bloodworm imitations. And usually when you find them, you know, you can catch them, but it's finding them that'll be the hard part.
You know, sometimes a jig and spoon is a good thing with, maybe a minnow head on it or something for a perch, especially the bigger perch.
It is, and sometimes a tandem of baits work too. You know, a lot of guys will run a bigger presentation, a spoon with a jig head on it, They'll catch those really active fish in the school, and when the fish aren't around, they'll use that bigger jig to kind of pound bottom and stir up the sediment. When fish come in, if they look at the spoon, they don't feel like they're going to hit something like that. You've got a second rod right there that you can drop a smaller jig and a waxy down to capitalize on those a little bit more lethargic fish.
It seems like pounding the bottom, stirring up a little dust down there seems to be a magic thing, especially with perch, but it works with crappie sometimes too.
It does, yep. It's a neat little trick to, you know, at least try and get some of that school to start going or bring some fish in.
You know, a lot of the fish are starting to suspend now, and they will come up higher and higher later in the winter like this in the water, but you still got fish out there. If you're in 18 feet of water that are on the bottom, those fish don't show up real quick on your depth finder if you drill a hole sometimes. Until you drop something down there and bang the bottom a few times, then all of a sudden you bring your jig up and all of a sudden they're there.
Yep. You know, I saw a little bit of that the other day while I was crappie fishing, but, you know, the thing that you'll run into with that is the barotrauma on the fish. So those high-rising fish, those fish that will come in suspended, those are your really active fish. Those are fish that will probably release really easily, but you just got to watch how deep you're fishing for when you look for those fish that are on the bottom, just to make sure that those fish survive.
I think 20, 25 feet, anything beyond that, you know, you're running the risk of fish not surviving when you bring them up and their bladder blowing up.
Yeah.
And as far as the other fishing out there, I know that we start losing some of the snow, there'll be some guys out there doing some stream fishing, I think, too.
Yep, and I'll be one of them. Yeah, as soon as the rivers start to open up and we get some of that ice and snow gone, a lot of the fishing in some of the rivers and creeks around here will start getting really active for trout, and it's a great way to get out of the house after being sitting in there all winter and wet a line.
A lot of things coming up, too, not to mention starting to think about getting your gear ready for spring because, you know, you start looking at, and I like count weeks, not months, and weeks seem to make it sound like it goes faster, but we're not that many weeks away from open water now.
We're really not. I mean, you know, by the time we hit this weekend, it'll probably be 8-9 weeks until we're hitting open water, you know, as far as game fish season opener. You know, panfish will be a lot quicker than that, but, you know, get out there and get all your tackle ready so the first day that you can get out on the water, you're out on the water fishing and you're not, you know, scrambling trying to get stuff ready.
You know, a lot of guys wait. They wait until the opener to go out. But, you know, if we get open water, the pan fishing and the bass fishing can actually be pretty good way before the opener.
Oh, absolutely. You know, all those panfish will start moving up a little bit shallower and start staging, getting ready to spawn. But, you know, most of those panfish will have the feed bag on, you know, after having such a lethargic winter out there that the fishing will be really good.
You bet. You know, and I know there'll be guys making road trips. I mean, I'm planning on going down to Mississippi if I can. As long as we kind of time it where, with all this snowpack we got, once that starts to melt, those rivers are going to get kind of wild, I think.
They'll get wild. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we're starting to hear a couple guys that are getting some trips ready. Some guys that are going out west to catch a little bit of ice that they've got left out there. You know, some guys headed south to start fishing rivers for walleyes. I'm seeing some pictures already. They got a lot of open water down there already, so I'm sure that's not too far away.
You know, you guys are getting ready for it in the stores. I'm standing here, you're pulling all the rod racks out. You're getting all the stuff ready for the year, right?
We're thinking spring here, too, absolutely.
And you got any good sales going on? Anything left yet? Or?
Yeah, we got some winter stuff left. We're doing 10% off to all shacks and augers. So if you're looking for something for this year to go out and enjoy the last little bit of ice that we have, or if you're gearing up for next year already, looking for some deals, we've got it here. And then we've got 5% off on all your ice electronics as well.
You know, and you're getting a lot of new stuff in to look at already, too. So I noticed I picked up a bunch of tools for the boat. You know, you got all that stuff out now, and you're starting to put it out. Quite along, right along.
Yep. You know, this next month of March and April will be, you know, transforming the shop from the winter months over to the spring and summer months. And, you know, it's a busy time, but it's a fun time getting to look through all the boxes and new baits that we've got coming in. And definitely a lot of cool things coming in for this year.
Well, Jared, I want to thank you for taking the time with our listeners here. And let's hope we have early spring.
Fingers crossed.
You bet. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, again, we're talking to walleye tournament pro and local fishing guide Bill Kutka about walleye fishing with even more great tips for you. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Skidoo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
At Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we talked with Hayward Area Fishing Guide and Pro Walleye Tournament Angler Bill Kutka about walleye fishing, trolling, and a lot more. Well, we had just too much to fit it all in one show, so this week we're back again with Bill talking more about walleye fishing and more on trolling and actually just finding fish.
Bill, you know, when it comes to trolling, especially for walleyes, but just about any fish out there, you know, the one key thing we talked about on before here was depth and how to repeat the same depth and stuff. But the fact is that depth control is all important, and that got a lot easier now with the new electronics we have and some of the apps for your phones and that stuff out there, because you know exactly where that lure is running. If you're trying to do it the old way where you're trying to feel and learn each individual lure and how deep it runs, it's much easier to find out now and be able to run a multiple different choices of lures instead of have to have your favorite lures that you learned exactly where they run at.
Oh, for sure. And you want to experiment too. You know, you're seeing fish, you know, that are separated by 15 or 20 feet in the water column. You know, you want to have your bait staggered. Now, if you start nailing fish at a specific, you know, amount of line out at the depth that you know it's running, you know, don't be afraid to reel the other ones in or a few of them and get in that zone. I think it's so important to stay in contact with those fish. And I think the other thing that people make a mistake with, oh, there's fish at 20 foot. They set their baits to be at 20 foot. Walleye's eyes are basically near the top of their head. They're looking up. You know, on the Clearwater lakes, you should for sure be, you know, at least 3 feet above those fish. So don't just go right at the depth that you're seeing the fish. You want to come up a little bit.
I think that's true with just about all fish out there. Fish are used to looking up and ahead of them, not necessarily feeding down to the bottom unless you're talking maybe a catfish or a sturgeon.
Oh, for sure. And even if I'm using, you know, plastics for walleye, I do a lot of drop shot casting and plastics for them. If you think about it, you know, when fish look up, most of the bait that they're looking at, even including perch, have white bellies, right? So I use a lot of whites and off-whites when I'm out there, you know, using my plastics just because of what we're seeing. They're looking up.
You know, white is one of my favorite colors out there, especially in deeper water. It just seems like it is a color that they can see. And sometimes I wonder if these fish don't get tired of seeing chartreusey things and orangey things out there.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I talk a lot about it in my boat and at the seminars in my booth. You know, if you relate it to a kid going to a school cafeteria and all they get is cheese pizza for a month, and then one Monday they walk in and they got Sloppy Joe's going and cheese pizza, chances are you're going to try that Sloppy Joe because, you know, cheese pizza is about all you've known or seen. So don't be afraid to mix it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're talking trolling right now, but, you know, what tells you when to troll versus when to go to more traditional live bait or jigging a plastic or a stationary approach where you're casting and trying to work the school of fish?
Yeah, well, early season, late season, for sure, I'm out there casting and probing, you know, whether it's, you know, early season, well, even late season, I'll throw suspended jerk baits or plastics, you know, bigger plastics on jigs. And again, I use the trolling, you know, as my probe. You know, even in the summertime, as I'm trolling, if I get on a hot bite, I don't care if I'm in 40 foot of water or 15 foot of water, I'm going to pull those rods in and go ahead and cast to them. So, like I said, I'd rather have a jigging rod in my hand than a trolling rod.
Well, you know, in the general line of thought for musk or for walleye fishing, it always has been, you know, slower and live bait. But over the last few years, we're seeing more and more and more people that don't ever use hardly live bait. They strictly almost use, you know, plastics or some of these lures like jigging wraps or that type of stuff.
Yeah, I always have live bait in my boat. I don't care if it's, you know, May or August. I always have, you know, a bucket of minnows in there and, you know, leeches if it's in season. You know, it's just, it's a natural presentation, you know. I mean, even if I'm out there jigging, you know, John, I often will set up, you know, drop shot rigs over the side of the boat and, you know, and put down suckers or big fat heads while we're casting or jigging. Or throwing a bobber out, you know, don't be afraid. You know, bobbering's not just for shoreline or the first 15 foot. Don't be afraid to set bobbers up in deeper water too, you know, bass and, well, walleye and the occasional northern will come through, but, you know, don't be afraid to set up slip bobbers in deep water. I think people overlook that.
Well, you mentioned something there, slip bobbers. That's one of the more popular presentations there is out there for walleyes. But again, I see people go out to a spot, and this is fine in the evening in that golden hour when you'd expect the fish are going to come up on a structure or something. They'll sit there and throw the bobber out there and leave it sit in one spot and just sit back and watch the bobber. I tend to, a lot of times, take a more active approach with the bobber. I tell the people to cast that bobber out there and move it 2 feet, stop, move it two
yep.
feet, stop, or move it real slow coming back. And the other thing I try to do a lot of times, especially in darker water lakes, is I use jigs with the underspin underneath them, little jigs that have a spinner blade underneath them. It's just another added attraction, and it seems like you're more apt to trigger a fish. If sometimes the fish are not wanting to eat something, but you can get them to bite on something by a responsive bite, come zipping past them, just like trolling. And in that active bobber approach, basically, or slip dragging, it seems to really make a difference.
Well, yeah, like you said with that jig, you know, it almost looks like a scale coming off the fish, too, or the bait. So it's like it's wounded, and, you know, that predator will say, okay, here's an easy picking. Or you're creating competition, too. You know, you got fish together, you know, all of a sudden they think, well, I'm going to get that before he gets it, right? And I think we do that all the time, you know, to your point with the you know, moving the bobbers in a few feet here and there. It's a stationary presentation, and that fish will sit there and look at it, and they'll watch it. They know it's there, but then if you move it a little bit, they're going to say, oh, okay, you know, so you're intimidating it a little bit as well, too, and maybe that particular little pod isn't firing, but 15 feet away in the same pod, you know, there's a fish or two that want to go there. So, you know, don't just sit there and become complacent.
Something I've started to do now in the last couple of years here is drop shotting for walleyes. Literally, it's a vast technique, but drop shotting with a minnow on there or a leech makes a big difference sometimes. And especially if you're running live or forward-facing sonar, I run the Garmin live scope in my boat. I know you haven't the Lorenz stuff, but you can actually throw it out there and watch the fish coming, looking at it, and you can move it, and they'll come after right away sometimes.
Oh yeah, I'm drop shotting all the time. I love it, and I'll even take a drop shot rig, John, and I'll put a plastic on it or even a sucker, and we'll cast them, you know, get it out, and just slowly. You don't even have to jig it. you know, just slowly bring it back. And if you think about it, that weight's on the bottom, that bait is suspended above, and you're just bringing it right through the structure or the basin area that you see the fish in.
You know, we've talked about trolling, we've talked about presentations and stuff here, but ultimately when it comes down to catching walleyes, muskies, every other fish, is that you got to be where the fish are. You got to be casting your bait or putting your bait in front of fish. And, I think with walleyes in particular, the reason a lot of people have a real struggle catching walleyes, sometimes even myself, is that we're just not fishing where the fish are sometimes. You have to be able to locate and zero in on those fish. Any tips you can give people there on being more successful on trying to figure out where the fish are going to be out there?
Well, that's just a great point. I've got four rules. I say them in the boat, and I say them at my seminars. Bill's rules, I call them. Rule one is do not fish until you see fish. You know, rule two is be willing to leave inactive fish to find active fish. Rule three is don't leave active fish to find fish. If you're on fish and you're catching fish, try something different. You know, if you're rigging, try throwing a jig at them. If it makes sense and you can, throw a crankbait at them, throw a crankbait at them. Try bobbering them. Make yourself a better fisherman by working different techniques when you have hot fish. And my rule number four is see rule number one. You just repeat it. So.
Well, you said see fish with your electronics, but a lot of times we'll see fish marks on our screen. And we really don't know what they are down there. They could be a bunch of different things, that, including a school of suckers. But once you kind of learn what a school of walleyes looks like, because it you can quite often tell if you're looking at walleyes versus, say, a school of suckers, just in the number of fish that are in that school and how they stack up, too, sometimes.
Right. And setting your palettes on your electronics is key. You know, get a good color that you can distinguish, get your sensitivities proper where you can really see what the bladders look like on the fish. And to your point, study. And if you're catching walleye in a consistent school that you're looking at down there, kind of memorize that. And then next time you'll say, well, I see a lot of fish here because suckers have the same profile as walleye. So it can be confusing. But, as you said, don't just catch fish, throw them in the live well and say that was fun. What was happening at that time? What did it look like on my screen? And make those mental notes.
And do some homework ahead of time sometimes, I will add, because, one of the things that I tend to look for is interconnecting, and I've said this before on the radio show, but interconnecting structure between predominant structure. If you take a couple of humps out in the middle of the lake, most often there's some kind of interconnecting structure underwater, like a ridge or like an area that's a little bit shallower with some boulders or something on it, or between a point and a hump that's out farther offshore. And those type of areas seem to be the areas that a lot of times that you're going to find the fish on more often.
Right. It's almost like a route or a highway, to your point. And or it's just the contour, that they're following at the time. But yeah, you do it. And you got one hump in the middle of a lake, but if you have a series of humps with saddles and troughs, I'll start there versus that single hump every day.
And with the new mapping we've got nowadays, and you can get it on your phone, some of the maps like Navionics stuff, but also with electronics now, a lot of that stuff is pretty easy to find. Just looking at the map, taking the time to study before you just jump out there and start fishing.
Right. Absolutely. To your point, do your homework, study. And I say that, to the folks when I'm doing seminars about Hayward. I said, break big lakes into small lakes. Don't come up and try to attack a 5,000-acre lake in a weekend that you haven't fished for a year. Say, okay, this trip I'm going to concentrate. It's this time of year. I know how the fish should be biting. Look for areas that you think that those fish would be. And stay in those areas and work them. Don't try to cover the entire lake in 3 days because it'll frustrate you.
Just don't fish memories from last year either.
or last night, John.
Bill, I want to thank you much for coming on here. You want to give out some information? Somebody's looking to get you for a guide for this next open water season?
Yeah, I'd love it. A lot of excitement coming on, starting the shows. I'm getting a lot of bookings for my open spots right now. But, you know, Hayward, I'll be here from opener to first week of October. Then I head to Lake Erie for October and November out for some big walleye. Folks can find me at BillKutkaAngling.com. I've also got a Facebook presence, or just email me at Bill@BillKutkaAngling.com. And my cell phone is 715-699-4833.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we've got some great perch fishing tips for you from fishing guide Steve Jensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the winter and the ice fishing season winding down now, we're going to wrap up this week's show with some great perch tips for you from fishing guide Steve Jensen.
Steve, you know, when it comes to winter fishing, perch is a popular fish to go after. If you can find the bigger perch, but there's still a lot of perch out there, it's a little bit different looking for them, though, than bluegills or crappies.
Yeah, it certainly is, John. Perch are certainly a favorite of mine. And we have some good perch fishing here. The problem with perch is they're a lot of work sometimes, and they move a lot. And a lot of times where we leave them, they aren't there the next day. So really it comes down to drilling a lot of holes, moving a lot, and trying to follow and stay with those fish, which can be a little bit problematic as they move around so much.
A lot of guys are looking too shallow for them, though. They go out in that soft bottom area.
They do. They love the basin. And they, like I say, they like to roam and feed in that muck area. They're usually down on the bottom in the types of areas where you would find the crappie suspended over that same deep water, but they're usually just related more to the bottom.
What type of presentation or bait or line are you using on that?
You know, for me, it's a pretty simple presentation. I run 4-pound solar micro ice. It's an awesome line. I can see it very well. Has a little bit of give. Typically, we're fishing 20 feet, sometimes up to 30 feet. And I'm using just basically small spoons. It's probably my favorite. I will fish aggressively with a spoon with a minnow head or tipped with spikes or waxies. If I get into fish that are looking a lot and not biting on the spoon, then I'll usually downsize to a tungsten jig and just work them a little bit slower.
And usually it's always, again, in that basin area, that deeper basin area.
Typically, John, but, you know, there's always, you know, exceptions to the rule. Every now and then I'll find a school of perch or a group of perch that will move up along a weed edge. All depends on the lake and the makeup of the lake. If it's a shallower type lake, a lot of times you can find those fish just outside those weed edges. But typically you want to look in the basins, and I'm usually starting at about 15 feet of water and working down to about 30.
Good information. You want to give out your guide information?
Yeah, you bet, John. If anybody wants to get out and do some fishing this winter, 715-558-3709 or fishhunts.com.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.